This goes out to the ABS fam, to the crew getting ready at the Pepsi can. DJ Triple T banging thunder with the hype jams. My dog Bernie getting smiles in the West Stands. To the kids in the hall playing hockey. Radio Moser with the call, I know you got me. To the man who caught the puck with his bare hand. Jake Schroeder paying respects with the national anthem. To all the jerseys and the signs and the programs. LG Red, Nikki Hurdle in the beer man. TV crews, beat reporters and the Ice Girls. To Wright, Croft, Kiefer and John Lyles. To Big Z, Mac, Landy and Rantanen. To the crowd getting fizzy at the Pepsi can. To the one and only world's best hockey fans. Here we go, shout out ABS fam.
The ColoradoHockey.com podcast is brought to you by
FSwing.com.
AVSFAM.com.
How freaking good was Cale Makar last night? I mean, it's his debut game. He just comes off at the Frozen Four. The guy is living the life right now, and he won't always be this good, but for a brief moment in time, the world is spinning in exactly the right direction and exactly the right speed, and he is living the life. It was a cool story to start with. There was no way that it wasn't going to be a cool story, short of him getting hurt or doing something really stupid. He did neither of these. He looked exactly the way that you would expect a player to look who's played NHL games. And for his first NHL game to be against a pissed off Calgary team that realizes they've got some big holes in their game and that he's going to come in there as a rookie, you expected them to welcome him to the league with something big, something physical, and something that hurts. But the kid held his own. The kid showed up and he didn't look out of place at all. Matter of fact, he got his first goal and acted like it wasn't a big thing. This guy's special. I think he's going to be special for a long time. There will be growing pains and it won't always be this glamorous, but it's a bright spot. It's awesome. As a matter of fact, it's so awesome that it really made us all forget the question of what the hell is Sakic doing? Why are we burning a year on him? Why are we going to expose him to the entry draft? What the hell's going on here? And those are all valid questions, but none of those mattered last night. None of those mattered until later today when I went, oh yeah, that was a weird move. And I have some theories on why exactly Sakic went about doing things the way that he did. First thought is that I think Sakic thinks we're 2 years or less out from really competing for a cup. He thinks that this team he's put together, this core team that he's always talked about that's growing together, is ready for a Cale Makar who's 20 years old. He's not exactly a teenager or a young guy anymore. He's 20 years old and he's well seasoned and he has a great head on his shoulders and he fits now. Now's the time to bring him in. Why not get him some playoff exposure this year? Who knows where it's going to go? But next year, when we make the playoffs, and I think we will, he's going to already have that under his belt. He's going to be ready to go. I really feel like the Avs are gearing up for a cup run this year, next year, the year after that, and we'll see what happens. We have Girard, we have Barry, and now we have Makar. One of those guys could go and we wouldn't be hurting too bad, but you know Makar's not going anywhere. Girard's probably not either, and I don't think Barry should. We have three guys who are offensive threats on the blue line. And then we have three guys who are pretty big. Who knows if Cole's going to be here long or not, but he's a big dude. He kind of plays the other side of the defensive game that we want him to play. Z is a big dude. He's going to punish people. He's going to make them wish they hadn't done the things they had done, which is touch his puck and come near his blue line or his goalie. And we've got Eric Johnson, who's the vet, who's still a big dude. He can throw that body around. So now we've got a good representation of the entire spectrum of what it means to be a defensive player in the NHL. So has Sakic lost his damn mind? I don't think so. I think that maybe we just don't know the game as well as he does. He understands the big picture in the long game, and as frustrating as it can be as a fan to go, why aren't you doing things quicker? Why aren't you doing things the way that I think you should do them? All he's done is left and right prove to us that he's got this thing, and we should probably just go with it. Sakic seems to have this thing under control, and let's let the guy lead. He's been a leader his entire life. All right, all of that said, Makar came in and the coaches were definitely protecting him a little bit. He was very clear about when to get off the ice and he didn't mess around. When he heard the whistle or whatever the move was from the coaching staff to let him know he should come off the ice, he was off the ice. Credit to him on that, by the way. He wasn't trying to go hero out there. As soon as he was supposed to be off, he got off. But when the guy's on the ice, he's not holding back at all. You saw it on the goal that he scored. He's thinking offense. He's thinking go. He likes north and he likes south. And that's exactly what you want to see in a defenseman, or at least the defenseman that he is. Clearly, I'm stoked about Makar. I wasn't sure about into the hype the same way I wasn't sure about Rantanen, which proves that I know nothing about hockey. All I know is that I should let the pros take care of these sort of things, but Makar is as advertised, and I can't wait to see him in Game 2, Game 3, as many as we can get out of him this year to see how he settles in. What happens? Does the adrenaline dump? Does he get off his game a little bit because it's overwhelming, or does this guy just continue to play great hockey for us? I think it's probably the latter, or maybe something just on the other side of it, but I think it's all good. I'm really curious now to see how people like Girard and Barry start responding. I mean, this guy is a great teammate, but he's also somebody who's a lot like them, and are they going to keep doing what they do? Does it elevate their game? Do they start playing well together? Who knows? Maybe a Barry and a Makar out there is something dangerous. Maybe Girard and Makar is even more dangerous. While there's a lot of cool things you can have as a hockey team, one of the best things you can have is options, and we just got another one. So the next question on a lot of people's minds is, all right, if Makar's in, then who's out? Well, it's easy right now because Girard's hurt, so he's out. When he comes back, who's out? I don't know. The coaching staff has been odd. They've been picking people like Nemeth over people like Graves, and I get it. Nemeth has a lot more experience, and a lot of people hate him, but really he's not that bad of a player. His inability to get the puck out of the zone is suspect, I agree, but a lot of his game is there, and you can see the way that players appreciate him on the ice. He must be doing something right. I don't know if he's coming off, but then who? Who's going to peel out? Or are we just going to roll with an extra defenseman? These are tough questions, but great. These are great problems to have for sure. I think what you're not going to see is Makar being scratched for anything. Unless he's just really playing horribly or he gets dinged up just a little bit, then maybe that's a conversation. But as long as he's playing good and not playing bad, then I think that he's going to be in the lineup. I think that a guy who's probably never going to see the ice again is Mark Barberio. He's been hurt for so long, and even if he's available right now, he wouldn't be playing. I think that his days are probably numbered at this point, which is unfortunate, but hey, it's the game. So what if we were thinking even a little bit further ahead? Let's say that, hell, let's say we win the cup, whatever. Whatever gets us to next year, suddenly we have a pretty good defensive core. We've come from having a really suspect defense to having a defensive core that's pretty legit. Many of them young, many of them not with big contracts at this point. So is it time to address a winger spot? Is it time to address secondary scoring? But something other than just the guys who aren't at the top line, somebody who is a legit second line scorer, somebody who could be on a first line on just about any other team? Probably. And one of the best moves we're going to make right there is an aging goaltender, maybe. I don't know. Maybe Vardy could bring something in that's a prospect. But if we want a guy who's ready right now, it's probably going to be somebody like a Barry or somebody like a Z. I don't want to see either one go. But when you have a surplus in one area and you have a deficit in another, it really makes sense to use your surplus to fill that deficit. And I think that might be on the minds of the Avalanche. I think that Joe Sakic is not counting anything out. He's clearly not going to make any big moves on a whim, but this may be a thing he's thinking about. I think that Joe might well be thinking about what to do with some of these guys who have been difficult to deal with in contract years before too. And is there a guy out there who we can bring in who would gel well with our team? Maybe. If so, and if I'm right that he thinks we're ready for a cup run here in the next 2 to 3 years, it's probably the best move he can make. Okay, so let's talk about the goaltenders for a second though. I think Varley's out. I think that Varley had a great tour of duty with us. It's unfortunate that he's probably going to leave not being the starting goaltender for whatever success we have from this point on. I respect the hell out of the guy, but I just don't see a scenario where he gets re-signed with us unless it's blatantly clear that he can contend for that number one job, but he's not the number one anymore. I think Grubby has stolen that from him. I don't think anybody else would disagree on that one. As much as I love Vardy and everyone else does too, you put your best goaltender in the net, and Grubby's been that goaltender. He's been solid. Even when he lets in a little bit of a woofy puff goal, he still turns it around, forgets about it, and plays a great game. I mean, this is the kind of serial killer mentality who has no emotion over anything that you want in a goalie, and Killer Grubby's pretty awesome. So let's just pretend then that Grubby is our number one. Who's our number two? If it's not Vardy, who comes up? Who's our number two? Well, we have some prospects. We have some guys who could come up, get some experience, get some exposure, be on the bench, be on the road, be in the locker rooms. I don't know if we have a guy, though, that if we lost our number one, that I feel super confident is going to take over that number one spot. Now, we have some options. We could bring in Frank. He could come up as a vet, a guy who's, you know, not a teenager, basically, and he could play that role. That would be really cool for him as well, and he can get us a game here and there. He can get us a breath for our number one goalie, but I don't think he's ever going to be a number one goalie, not at the level for a team that would make a cup run. So Spencer Martin, he's been in the organization for quite a while, and we've had a lot of good looks at him. The thing about Spencer Martin is he's good. He's not great. So good can maybe make you a backup goalie, but really in a backup goalie, we'd probably want that number one. So we need a guy who can compete with our number one goaltender to make sure that they're both at the top of their game and playing the best they can. That inward competition, that on-the-team competition is huge. And we've seen that Grubby responds well to it. And I think it's on the team to find somebody who's going to come up and really challenge him for that. Even if it's a youngster who we all know isn't going to take the job right away, we need a guy who's capable of doing it when the stars align and the time is right. Recent draft picks aside, I don't think we have it. And I'm not sure that the team believes that we have it yet either. We give ourselves lots of options because options are good, and we'll see how that turns out. But I think that with the draft coming up, we're going to be looking in the second and third round later, of course, for anyone we think might be a gem, might be somebody in the draft who can fill that role or compete for it or compete with the guys who are competing for it to up the game when it comes to our goaltending pipeline. Take a quick pause here to remind you, not a coach, not a GM, not even a hockey player, just a fan. So I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong. I mean, listen to me. The Avs win a couple games and I'm like, yeah, I think they can make a run for the cup. I'm a complete fan. This is what I do, but I'm optimistic and I think you should be too, because there's no reason not to be optimistic at this point. I should probably get a second opinion. Hold on, phoning a friend.
Yes.
I just did like a 10-minute stream of consciousness brain dump on the Makar thing, jumping into what that means beyond what a great game and all that.
Fun.
And I decided, well, I like what I said. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear your opinion without being anchored by any of mine. Did you go to the game?
Of course I did.
So you were there for the crazy?
I was there for the crazy. It was absolutely crazy. Like, my voice is still not at 100%, but this is like 98% better than it was this morning.
So tell me about it though. What was it like to be there? Because it was nuts on Twitter. Like, I mean, everybody was so pleasant. It was nice.
Well,
it's great to be on the winning side.
I guess that's true. When you win, people tend to be nicer. And
it was crazy, right? I mean, there's still a couple of them out there, and most of them are blocked at this point, if we're being honest. I use that often.
I do too. People who whine and complain and try to tell the world negative that they deserve things. Right?
I don't have time for that shit.
Nope, not at all.
But so, I mean, at the same time, every now and then I do it too, and I'm like, okay, I should get over myself. I probably just got blocked too. It's fine though. That's why that button's there.
I don't think you have ever said anything that makes me feel like you're an entitled little twat though. So
I'm going to try.
You could.
Around Christmas, I'm going to try to ramp up.
Deal. We'll see how long it takes me to block you.
I'm going to use one of my other accounts.
Ah, you have so many.
Probably.
But really, during the game last night with some of your, I have notifications on Avsum and on Colorado Hockey. So every time, you know, there's a post on either one of those, I get the notification on my phone. And with like 10 minutes left in the third, the people next to Liz left. So I went and sat down by her. And you posted something that was just fucking hilarious on the Colorado Hockey one. And I just remember laughing my ass off and just like handing my phone to Liz because you were posting on Twitter and it was funny. And I was delighted.
I was having a good time.
I could tell.
I might have had some drinks.
Really?
Yeah. It was good fun.
Never would have known. Never, ever.
It was so awesome, though. I mean,
it was such a good game.
It's been so long. Like, we've been in the playoffs, you know, last year, but it wasn't like this.
No, not at all.
This is different. Like you can feel the vibe. And, you know, I mean, the whole Makar thing, he comes in and it's like this great story. And like, all he has to do is not screw up and not get hurt. And it's a win.
True.
But he does way more than that.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you all the things. You're supposed to be telling me the things. So what was it like? So you got to the arena and there was a buzz, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So for the playoff games, they let everybody in an hour and a half early, which is kind of weird to me because usually it's just certain sections that get in early. So like, I'm used to my half hour of quiet time before anybody else gets in the arena. So it was already kind of strange to be in there with so many people and so many people who were already so excited and so buzzy, you know, coming off of the overtime win this weekend. I feel like a lot of people had a lot of expectations and a lot of hope, which is great. It definitely, I think, changed the energy and the atmosphere from the beginning. And it just kept ramping up from there. You know, from the moment that we stepped in the arena, you know, you could feel the atmosphere and it was insane. I think insane is the only word that I have to describe it.
That's such a weird thing, though, because it sounds like, you know, Boulder hippie woo-woo when you're like energy, but for real, like it's different. It's different when everybody's got that vibe going and I'm like at home and I can feel it. And plus, I mean, Twitter was just blowing up last night.
One of the things that was really different from a lot of games is there weren't that many Calgary fans there. And most games we have huge sections of opposing team fans. And I was honestly shocked at how few there were. There were pockets here and there, and you know, you could hear them, you could see them, but you couldn't feel them in the building like you usually can.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're reclaiming the Dusty Center.
Which is awesome. And I hope we can do it for more than just, you know, a couple games. I hope that this is a little bit more of a resurgence than just, yay, playoffs, you know?
I think so. I mean, I don't know. I've really been, I'm not thinking about it all day, but kind of here and there, you know, when I'm supposed to be in a meeting talking and thinking. But I'm like, okay, so what really happened is like I saw this team like play as a team, which I know sounds super silly. It sounds like the back of a bubblegum card or something. But this idea that nobody was going hero, people were taking that punch to the face. I mean, there was some dumb moments, no doubt. We took some penalties, but you have to. It's playoffs. That's going to happen. But when it mattered, our guys just, they did what they had to do. They put their hands back, said, I'm not going to punch you back in the face. And, you know, we won the game. Stuff that later on probably won't matter if we win the series. If we lose it, then you spend the whole summer going, I should have punched that dude back.
Right. Time. Well, but they did. You're right. They chose those moments wisely. And Landy and Tkachuk going at it, for example. That was a great moment. That was freaking awesome.
It was. I had people DMing me going, I'm not at the game. Is he okay? Fine. I saw a clip on Twitter of him going down. I'm like, I
think he just got a little bit shit rocked. He had Tkachuk just like sitting on him and
he had like a full mount on top of him and punched him with no room for his head to go anywhere, but hit the ice.
Which is not okay.
I mean, redemption will come. I'm sure of it.
Landy's got a nice little shiner, but you know that you're being a little fuck when your father, Keith Tkachuk, is pissed off at you and disappointed when you're fighting.
Yeah, I know him of all people. I kind of thought I would see him like clapping or something. I thought it was a joke when that tweet floated by, and then it wasn't. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's how you know that you are being a twerp.
Oh, a little sidebar, by the way. That guy, I mean, legit athlete, like professional athlete, played in the NHL and all that. And then when he's not anymore, he looks like just any other dad. He's got man boobs. Mm-hmm. He's got a belly. It's really, I mean, I know this isn't uncommon, but for me, it's just like, like these guys are in such good shape that they're probably trying to keep calories on for the playoffs. They've been playing so long. Like this is 100% a marathon, but it's a marathon where people punch you and every single night you get smashed against boards and all that. It's really amazing the shape they're in and the way they're playing right now.
I have so much respect for that. It's just crazy. You have to be in such good shape for that kind of level of play on such a consistent basis.
You got quiet for a minute. I thought I was going to say words. So Makar was a star of the game. Is that right? Because here's a really crappy thing about NHL TV is that they don't show you everything. Like there was no pregame. It's well past start time. I'm like, so they're playing a hockey game tonight, right? Is somebody going to show some of the hockey game? Then suddenly it comes on and you forget about it because you watch hockey. And at the end, you're like, yes, I can't wait to see the crowd because I know who's going to be a star. And then there's nothing. Like that is so annoying.
Yeah.
I don't understand how they're so bad at programming.
I don't know. And you missed out, you know, beyond the end of the game, which I'll get to in a second. They crushed the pregame hype, like absolutely crushed it.
That's what I heard. One of the video person from BSN, I forget her name, Ali something. Anyways, she like posted a thing and it was super awesome. I even like was going to tweet out, thank you for it. And I was like, oh, I think I spelled a word wrong. So I just deleted it because I'm really bad with words.
You're better with words than you think you are.
But I saw like a little brief moment of it. It seemed really, really cool. And for me, I'm like, okay, so why wouldn't we be able to see the national anthem?
That's so dumb.
I mean, it's just a weird thing. And Jake Schroeder rocks it every time. And from his tweets, it sounded like the crowd was into it, like louder than ever.
Oh, yes. I have never heard the crowd sing the anthem that loudly. Like there's usually one or two people who are singing and then you get the flag was still there and people shout that. But
which I like, by the way, I've heard people really get negative on that. But those are the people I've
watched. Is what it is. I have no feelings about it, honestly.
I mean, come on, we're humans. Go ahead, scream a little bit. Get tribal.
We were drowning out, you know, everything. You could barely hear Jake singing the national anthem because the crowd was so loud.
It's not supposed to work. I love that. And,
I mean, everything. The wristband light show, the videos that they did. You know, I'm not often at a loss for words, and clearly I am right now. And this team is doing that to me a lot lately. It's very annoying, but I appreciate it.
It's okay. I have words. I'll throw words at you, and then you answer those words, okay? So what I've seen being like before the playoffs even got to Denver, I saw a lot of people really upset that their season ticket holders and their seats were given away before they had a chance to claim them for the playoffs. No. Is that your case?
So that was like three or four situations where the computer system got messed up and the computer just jacked it up a little bit.
You think that's really it? You don't think that was any shady? Okay. Cause I thought about that. I'm like, well, if that's true, that is kind of bullshit. Like you shouldn't do that. These people should have.
Oh, absolutely. And it does. And it's an automated system. And so part of the way that, like, if you're making a lot of changes in your account a lot, or you're, you know, moving and upgrading seats a lot, it can mess with things on the back end. And I don't know how their system works, but,
right.
It was legitimately just a computer error, and every person who actually got in contact with the front office was able to get it fixed really quickly, even if they weren't in their seats.
Okay. I mean, what you should correct that and overcorrect, right? That's what you do when you screw up, is that you say, I'm really sorry I screwed up. Here's this and here's a.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And certainly they did that, you know. Like I said, in every instance that I heard about, the second that the rep was contacted, they were able to correct it and there was no problem.
Cool. The world seems
for the most
again.
Part, I have other feelings on that, but I'm not going to share those at this time.
Right.
Yep.
Don't make me block you. I'm just kidding. So we keep digressing. So McKinnon was awesome. Right? I mean, the dude was on
fire. Yeah, he was.
But still being a team player, still making the passes, still getting it where it needed to be, but not hesitating to take that shot. And like, he wanted to be the guy who was scoring.
He was a grown up last night. That's the only way that I can put it. Like, he was the team player, but
he was like a superhuman growing up though.
But I've been talking about this with some people throughout the day today. I have seen so much growth in McKinnon over the last season and in the last three games alone. I feel like he has grown up so very much because he is that team player. And I've seen him, you know, there was a time where he would have been all about give me the puck, give me the puck, give me the puck, get me that hat trick. He didn't give a shit last night. And every time his teammates were trying to get it to him when it was a stupid time to try to get it to him for that hat trick, he'd just pass it right back and he'd make sure that the play was there rather than he was there. And that was incredible.
Which, I mean, good on him, right? Like, I get it. As the player, you're trying to get it to him as well. But I think he just wants to win.
I agree. I love that about him. And I think that you could see that attitude. And instead of being frustrated by it, and instead of getting ahead of himself, I saw a lot more control out of him last night than I have in a very long time.
It's funny to me how much attention he's suddenly getting. Like, the national media went, should cover the Abs now. Like, never before. Everybody was always trashed on us. Now everybody wants to talk. Kale McCarr and all these things happening. And it's just so interesting to see people jump on board. And I'm not a guy who has a problem with the bandwagon. Like, by all means, be a fan whenever the hell you want to be a fan. But it is interesting to me to see these people whose job it is to be critical or to have opinions suddenly change their minds so much for the broadcast. You know, it's like, oh, okay. So you're just going to flip right now? That's your thing now? Like, what you said before was just, you know, temporary? Like, I don't know. I try not to get caught up in that, but it's really been entertaining to see everybody come in and mispronounce names and just say the wrong things. Like, if you're a real fan, you know when somebody's full of it. And I've caught a lot of people.
So what was the best name mispronunciation that you've heard lately?
I think it was Landeberg or something somebody was saying, but I didn't have that broadcast going. I had a different one. And somebody is like, did they just say that? I'm like, no way, right? And like,
that's
maybe
amazing.
I don't know. Yeah, it's the stupidest thing you'd ever heard, right? Like, I could see messing up some other names, but that one,
that's a little crazy. Yeah, if you mess up that one, you don't have any right to talk.
And then it took me half the game to realize that Broussard wasn't out there, which I'm not trying to be mean to him, but what happened there?
Is he just sick? That's what we heard. We had no idea either. We saw Toninato. Sorry, I almost called him his nickname. He's Tomato. We have a nice image of him where his jersey looks like it says it's Tomato, and it's the best thing I've ever seen. We saw Toninato out there in warmups, and it took us a while to realize who he was replacing.
I don't remember seeing him at all.
No.
So did he skate?
Nope. Okay. He was a healthy scratch.
This would be great to have some pregame again with the NHL TV thing. Like, it'd be wonderful to actually know what's going on before the game starts. Like, if you're not going to give me the national version, give me my local.
Are they not playing it on altitude?
I am. Well, I don't go through altitude. I go through NHL
TV. That makes sense.
It's complicated. Well, yeah. Ah, I don't have cable.
Makes sense.
You know. Everybody's so concerned about broadcasting rights that it just screws the fans over and over. And like slowly it's becoming a thing. Like Twitter's doing games now. Amazon is. Google's going to start doing their own thing. So it's like it's coming down to this thing where people are... It's the same thing that always happens. Disruption is going to get them because they were so worried about their money. They didn't think ahead. They tried to protect their money instead of go for it. Kind of like the Avs do. Like when you have a lead, sometimes you just go for more goals instead of trying not to let the goal.
Well, it's about playing to win and not playing not to lose.
Right. Famous bumper sticker saying.
We talk about that at work all the time. You know, that's a big thing that is so important with mentality and the way that you approach everything in life. And I think it's so applicable for the way that the Avs play a lot of the time because, and I'm pretty sure some famous football dude said it because we're a very much a football company. And one of the higher ups said it a couple of years ago. And that's just totally stuck with me.
I think it goes back thousands of years. In various forms. I mean, I've been saying it forever too, but I'm pretty sure, it was like, probably. Archimedes said it, probably. Yeah, pretty sure that's how it went.
We'll go with it. I like it.
Right. So what else is on your mind after the game?
Speaking of people who are like changing their minds about everything, the Makar situation. So, I've been pretty vocal about my opinion on that. Not that I'm ever vocal about my opinion on anything, but I am very, very glad that he did so well in his first game. I have never been the person who said he will not be a good skater. I don't think that he is going to be able to live up to the hype. I am a firm believer that he is an exceptionally talented young man. I still don't believe that now is the time for him to be in the lineup.
I had theories on this. I'm not going to tell you. You have to listen to the podcast.
That's okay. I listen to all of them anyway.
And see if we even agree on anything.
We'll have to another pop up afterward so that I can figure out if we actually are on the same page. Okay. Yeah, I am sure that there are reasons, and I'm trying so hard to trust in the vision and trust in Sakic. But there is a piece of my gut that I can't shut up right now that is telling me that we are sacrificing the long term for some instant gratification.
Maybe.
Yes, please.
I should just tell you how I feel about this. Well, so we talked about this. I agree. I feel like it's a bad thing for the long vision. And that's what Sakic is. He's always playing the long game. So I was like, why the hell would he do this? What is he thinking? And my theory was that he thinks we're going to compete for the cup in 2 or 3 years, and he's going to start playing his cards. He has options on defense that he wants to vet now. And so if he thinks we're going to make the playoffs the next year, or the next year and make a serious round, why not get this kid some playoffs games now? And if we have Gerard, we have Barry, and we have a Makar, we have three players who are similar. We'd love to keep all three. Probably can't, right? You have two guys who have contracts coming up soon who have been difficult in the past to sign. So I think he's ready to start making moves for not just the future. I think he believes we have the core and that Makar might be part of that. And now we're building towards, let's make a run for the cup. And if that's the case, I could see him being one, concerned about a lockout. Two, being concerned that the expansion draft is something where we're going to have to protect certain people, but we're also going to have to make moves for other people we need. So if, let's say Barry's out in this case, Barry could land us a proper second line forward, somebody who can score, not just secondary scoring who isn't our first line, but proper secondary scoring. And that would free up money and that would free up space as well. And then we still have a lot of guys who aren't in the NHL yet. Right. Probably could be really soon. So we have a pipeline for the first time in a long time. We have options. And I wonder if he's not shifting his thinking towards making a run, seeing what we can do for 3 or 4 years. I don't think it's unreasonable to think we could make the playoffs again next year and do as well as we are now, if not better, and then even better the next year.
I can see that. And I can understand that. And I 100% agree that I think that it's feasible, if not likely. I'm totally going to eat my words someday for saying that. I'm not ever supposed to make guarantees, but
I mean, right? Everything is with the caveat that
exactly.
I might change my mind later when I have more information. More
speculating wildly.
We're being fans. That's what we do.
I think it's very likely that we'll make the playoffs next year and hopefully the year after that. I can see that we have that core and that we have that pipeline. But it's because of that core and because of that pipeline that I am worried about the longer term implications of starting him right this second. And yeah, there is totally a lot to be said for get in there, get playoff experience. Obviously, he showed us that he could rise to the challenge, which is great. I will happily eat my words about that at least a little bit. But my overall opinion has not been able to be shifted yet.
That's fair, though. I mean,
right?
This is what makes it fun, right?
Ugh,
it gives you the feels, sometimes not the best feels, but it's all good. I mean, we have so many questions coming up after the season, regardless of how it ends, though. But I don't think Varley's in our future. I think that our goaltending pipeline isn't as good as people say it is. I mean, if we lose Varley, then who's our backup? Is it Frank? I talk about this as well in the previous one. But if that's the case, I mean, cool. Dude deserves it. I don't know if he's ever going to be a legit number one, but he can be our number one long enough for another guy to fight off an injury, get a rest, things like that. Or maybe I'm totally wrong, but who knows?
Apparently, he'd like... stole the game for the Eagles last weekend.
Nice.
I have a friend who was there.
Because that's what we would need, is a guy who's capable of turning it on, even if it's temporary, right? The longevity game as a goalie is way different than the still a couple games game.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I game-gamed.
Repetition. It's the
right. And I know we have some draft picks, and we'll see how those pan out. I wouldn't be surprised if the Avs are, or if they're picking some more goalies late second round and beyond coming up next year.
Well, and I think that that would be smart. Because I'm with you. We don't have the greatest goalie pipeline.
Yep. And then, I mean, we have guys too who I think the days of Nieto are going to be over, Andrighetto, all that in the next couple of years. I mean, as contracts run out or as we move them, because other guys need to come up from juniors or from minors.
Oh, yeah. I'm a solid believer that Ghetto's out of here.
Right, and I'm not mad at these guys. I'm just saying, like, that's how this works. We've been developing guys. They're going to need a spot, and pretty soon we're going to have to give them a chance. Otherwise, what was it all for?
What about Nieto the last two games, though? Holy buckets. Unexpected.
Awesome, but where has that been? You know,
nobody. I mean,
I love that he's turning it on. That's great. That's the claim to fame for Claude Lemieux back in his day. Right. He was just an annoying guy for most of the year, but playoffs came, and he was annoying, and he scored goals. He was you know, a playoff guy. That's cool, but I don't think that... lands you a spot on the roster for the full year if you had a year of not impressiveness and then played well in the playoffs.
Well, that was the, I don't want to say entire, but that was a large part of the purpose of Ian Cole. He's turned it the fuck up since playoffs came about. He's a playoff guy.
He's been good, and he's also been a lot more responsible since getting beat up.
Yes.
So he's been like, maybe I'll play the other game.
Right. Well, but look at the thought and the strategy even just last night. So he had what, three breakaways shorthanded? That doesn't happen. Yeah. Especially
everyone's like, oh my god, what is he gonna do? I've never seen such a thing.
But that shot on Smith that Nieto ended up burying, that was not intended to be a shot to go into the net. That was 100% intended to come out, get a rebound, and get Nietzsche that shot. Like, you could see him thinking about it.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all. I mean, that's legit hockey right there. I know people aren't going to believe that when they hear that, but 100% shoot for the rebound. That's, I was trained that way too. And sometimes I just leverage it when I hit the goalie. I meant to hit the net. That happens too.
Right. But that's not what you see from him in quote unquote normal games. Or at least I haven't seen it from him this season. I admit that I have not followed his entire career. He's not a player that I have, you know, really been passionate about until he came onto our team. Because every time somebody comes onto our team, I become passionate about them. But I didn't see that Ian Cole throughout the season. But we're seeing it in playoffs.
I think that Sakic's aware of who's in the league, and he knows what gaps we need to fill. And I mean, Ian Cole was here before Makar was here. He was here before Girard was a known thing. You know, he had a role to fill, and it was either going to be scapegoat failure kind of guy. Like, when things go bad, it's his fault because he's old and slow, or the guy who settles people down, or a leader. But I think he's done a great job. I think that he's not safe, though, as expansions come up, or I don't know if anybody would really take him or not, but I think that he's played his role pretty good. But there's this real transition right now to having our young guys who are actually vets in the league playing so good, and then guys who are coming up from the minors who can absolutely fit in. Like, I think we're going to get younger yet.
Yeah. I think that that's a reasonable perspective.
Been a long time since we're having conversations like this about the abs.
Well, worrying about, you know, 2 years ago, this would have been a different conversation, because I would have told you, yeah, get Makar out there right this second. Who gives a fuck who else is in our system? We don't have anybody worth protecting anyway.
Right.
So,
I mean, man, how great is that looking in that fourth pick, right?
Right. Right.
I'm really curious for this year too. And I know that people still want to be critical, but I'm sold. I'm like, let's sidekick do his thing. I mean, when we were all heckling him and all that, he didn't change his tune at all. He just kept doing his thing. Probably made the best trade in 20 years. Here we are.
Yeah. Objectively, he did.
I'm not even mad that Duchesne's doing well, by the way, but holy crap, Columbus is really playing well.
I am thrilled that Duchesne is playing well. Playoffs agree with him.
Yeah, he's cool. Right? And he's not on our team. We wouldn't be as good if he still was probably right now, because there was just, there's like this inner world of politics or whatever was happening, but the right things happened and he's doing well. Like, win-win. Yep. Cool.
Exactly.
If we play him, we, you know, destroy him, but cool.
I mean, yes, abs always come first, but he will still always have a piece of my heart.
So, plot twist, we're not going to talk in much longer. You should recap for me.
I don't know.
This was a little off the cuff, if you couldn't tell, and it's going to be a little bit of a short one. But
no worries.
It's good, because you said smart things, and I like smart things.
That's what I try to do.
Tell me what you think is going to happen next.
Whew.
Like, I know for sure we're going to play another playoff game soon, so that's covered.
Yes.
But what do you think is going to happen in that game? Who do you see stepping up? What happens game two for Makar? Things like that.
I think Makar is going to settle in a little bit more. I did see that throughout his game last night, that he got more and more comfortable. I like the way the kid skates. I really, really like his hands. And I think it's only going to get better. I don't know if he's going to be like superstar level getting goals every night defenseman, you know, but I think that he will settle down, hopefully, to be solid. And I think he will. I would hope to see him with somebody other than Nemet at some point. I want to see him in the way that he adjusts and responds, because that's a weird pairing to me. But I mean, I guess it didn't end up badly.
Yeah, I don't know. He might just be the most reasonable person to put him with, because Nemeth is always playing defense, even in the offensive zone.
That's true. That is true.
Super awkward when he gets a shot on goal, we're being honest.
Oh, he rang it off the post last night.
I know. I was just about to say, but yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's really interesting to watch these guys too, that we heckle throughout the year, that are, you know, what are they in now? 84, 85 games, 83? Yeah. I don't know where we're at. More than 82. Five. And they're not hurt and they're playing good hockey. Like, okay, maybe they know more than me. Maybe they're playing the longevity game, but.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I have an admission for you.
Okay. Wait. Let's let the drama build. Hold on. Okay, I'm ready.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. Tyson Jost had an insanely good game last night.
He was good. He didn't score, though.
No, he didn't score, but he did so many things right. And he
didn't look freaked out.
No, he actually,
good.
For once, he looked calm, collected.
He was smiling and grinning. He got punched in the face a couple times, too.
He was determined.
No big deal. Nothing's going to break his stride.
And that's the Tyson Jost that we all wanted to see. And I am hopeful that that Tyson Jost comes back next year.
I want that to be his baseline. And I want to see him turn it up a little bit, though. Almost scoring is cool, but sometimes those got to go in. That's not a gripe.
I'm with you
on
that.
It's a lot easier when it's like, I think it was 5-2 when he almost scored and drew a penalty. Like, cool. I'll take that every time. But if that's 2-2, like, get that thing in there.
Oh,
bite the puck with your teeth, jump head first in, whatever. Get the puck in.
Yeah. Yeah. But he did a lot of things right. And I think that his energy carried. And I'm glad that he is doing his damnedest to prove me wrong about him. Wilson had a great game too. Not quite as good as Jost, but he did very, very well.
He's quiet until he's not, but he's mostly quiet.
Yes. But I didn't not notice him last night. And that happens more often than not. But I was noticing him for good reasons. It wasn't, you know, screaming, come on, worthless Willie, what are you doing?
The whole team played great, right? I can't wait to see how Calgary comes back. Like, are they going to come back physical? Are they going to come back disciplined? Or are we just going to see the same team?
What do you think is going to happen with their goalie situation? You think they're going to start Smith again?
I don't know. There's a weird thing going on. They knew they had trouble coming in.
Yeah.
It would make sense as the coach, if you know both guys are suspect, to pick the vet and say, look, we're going to win or lose with you. So show up.
Yep.
And you're playing for your job, in other words. But
right.
What else can they do? They don't have a good answer.
Start their backup.
If it's really bad, if they start him in the next game and they're down 3 goals by the end of the first or halfway through, they might pull him just because they have to do something.
Right.
And let's be honest, their star players aren't star playing right now. Like, Goudreau's not looking amazing.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, I'm fine with this, by the way. But
it's also, we're doing a good job of shutting him down. So it's not just that he's not playing well, but we are actively working towards disturbing his game. And I appreciate that a lot. Holy shit, the Penguins already scored.
Sorry. I saw some chatter that he's complaining about the refs not making calls. I'm like, dude.
Who?
Welcome to the NHL and welcome to the Abs world. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like slashes and all this. I'm like, are you not watching the same game? You guys are destroying us with slashes.
This,
like,
is playoff hockey and you can suck my dick.
Yeah, exactly. In those words, we should make that a bunch of sticker.
Actually, I really like
probably
that.
Probably get honks on the road. That. For
yes.
sure.
Done.
All right. Last thing, and then I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
So pick the 3 stars for the next game. And it doesn't just have to be Avs. I'd like it to be, but be real. Who are the 3 stars of next game?
Do I have to pick an order, or can I just give you the three?
No.
Okay, good. I think McKinnon's going to keep it up. I can feel his fire and I can feel his energy. So, McKinnon.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think that if he can show the improvement that he showed from game one to game two to game three, Jost is going to get in there. He's going to get some goals.
That's a bold pick. I like it, but it's bold.
I know. This is completely off brand for me too.
Yeah, it is.
And then the way that I suspect Calgary is going to play, I'll pick Groovy for the third.
Yeah, I think this is like a sneaky way to say, what do we have to do to win? And it sounds like we need our top guy scoring. We need some secondary scoring, and we need our goaltender to be lights out. Why not? That's a great recipe.
There you go. Who are your three?
McKinnon for sure. I think Grubauer. I should always just say Grubby. I always feel like I say his name wrong. And then I think Landeskog. I think that he started a little flat, to tell you the truth. He wasn't really sure what his role was in this. Like, it's weird for him because he has two guys who are just, you know, offensive superstars who can pass the puck like nobody's business. And he kind of fills the role he needs to for that game. And it's turned into a very physical one.
Right.
But I think that physical play is going to kind of taper a little bit. I think he's going to be super disciplined, but I see some tips coming in. So I expect him to get at least one goal, if not a couple, in the next game.
Excellent. I like it.
This and every other podcast that we do is brought to you by AvsFam, AvsFam.com. We met a lot of new people on Twitter recently. So if you don't know, we make really cool shirts and stickers and hoodies and hats and a lot of other things that you won't find anywhere else because nobody else makes them. And this is fan art. This isn't logo wear. This is something that is unique, something that is awesome when you put it on, and something that looks awesome whether you're a hockey player or not. Check it out. Also, if you like this podcast, tell your friends about it and then go subscribe. Go to Spotify, go to iTunes, go to Overcast FM, go to anywhere you can find a podcast, and you're going to find the Colorado Hockey Podcast. Stay awesome.